Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 53 and 54 of The Lord of Chaos, The Feast of Lights, and The Sending. Enjoy! Welcome back to The Wheel of Reads for Season 6, Episode 23. Is it 22 or 23?
Is this the Michael Jordan episode?
I think this is the Michael Jordan episode. I think so. Hey. Yeah. No, it's 24. Yeah. I don't know. We're doing two recordings in 1 week. It all throws me off. So episode 24. Close enough.
That means you missed your Michael Jordan moment.
Mr. MJ. That's all good.
Next
one. So we're back recording again, only 2 days later in our time. Of course, I'll release this on the normal release schedule, so it'll be a while before this one comes out. But that's okay, because I didn't want to keep them waiting as we march towards the end of this book, because it's getting juicy.
Thank you.
Very juicy. Since it's only been 2 days, we don't have any new Patreons, I don't think. Let me check my email. No.
Y'all don't love us that much? I'm kidding.
Yeah, but if you guys want to join immediately after recording this, we are going to do a live reaction for patrons only, not on this YouTube. There's a separate YouTube link that gets sent out to patrons. The only way you can get the link is if you join Patreon. At the $10 level are up for a live reaction of Doom Eyes Wells to the end of the book. So we will be doing that immediately following this recording. So you guys have about an hour and a half to 2 hours, however long it takes us to get through these two chapters. So
we're in for a long night. Strap in, guys.
Let's go.
Get strapped one way or another. Yeah, there you go. So as far as personal life goes, in 2 days, nothing's really happened. I went to an event. That was kind of cool. It was the State of the City. It was the last hurrah for our mayor, who's been our mayor for 12 years, Mr. Mayor Price.
Price isn't mayor anymore?
No, he decided to retire. A new mayor was elected in November, and I guess he takes office in January, but this was kind of his farewell speech, and it was nice. Hmm. He did a good speech, and it was very well received, and he's been a good mayor.
His daughter's doing big things in politics, too.
Yeah, she's a House of Delegates for the state. Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
So
Marcia.
Yeah. Marcia Price. Yeah, she was there. Said hello. Saw a lot of people that I had seen in a long time. So it was good going to these events, because I haven't been to these type of events in forever because COVID. it was just fun getting to see some old peoples that I haven't talked to in years. So yeah, that's it. That's all I got as far as personal life goes. I don't know if anything's new in you guys' world in 2 days, but feel free to share.
I don't know what day it is. I don't know what month it is. I don't know what year it is. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm 39 years old. I have no fucking clue what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I finished 90% of my Christmas shopping already.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm not ready at all. I got to get paid first.
I'm using an Amazon account and just like hoping money comes in at some point. Yeah, Amazon has everything. Like, your kids want anime, there's anime. They want clothes, there's clothes. Shoes, dildos, all the things.
Oh, all right. What?
Thank you, Holly T, for upping your pledge just now. Thank you so much. So,
hey, we have a shout out. Yeah. Shout out.
Holly T.
You gave us something to do tonight.
Holly T. Awesome. Yeah, so doing some holiday shopping. That's fun.
It's the Holly T episode. We're dedicating this one.
Dedicating it. Yeah. We got it.
As a matter of fact, send Holly a link to join us. She could be our guest. I'm kidding. Holly's like, I'm not ready for that life.
It's probably a good idea to bring somebody on last second like that, because maybe we will get spoiled that way.
That would
maybe
be hilarious. We'll
get something really good that they just accidentally let slip out. Oh, wait, you're not there yet? No, that's in three books.
Exactly. So holiday shopping, that's good. We started holiday shopping. I think we're right now we're trying to get through birthday shopping still. My daughter's birthday is on Tuesday, so we're doing some last minute shopping for her, because trying to ask my 4-year-old what he wants to get his sister for that's not a present for himself
is near impossible.
Oh, well, no, he finally says he wants to get her a dollhouse. So I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, that's cute. That's cute. So that's kind of like, okay, that's cool.
Like, he spent first, he's like, on himself. He's like, all right, now we can get our.
What do you want to get, Eliza? A Power Wheel? No.
But Will, I mean, she'll love it.
Something with a back seat she can ride in while I'm driving her.
Yeah.
You know what? Driving Miss Daisy is a thing.
Yep. Yep.
I'm gonna be an Uber driver when I get older, so I'll drive her around.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, speaking of dildos and front porches, I saw like something online where someone's doing like neighbor wars, and when their neighbors go out of town, they get like boxes that say like, you know, dildo company or whatever, and put like a big box and put on the front step while they're out of town. So it just sits out there.
I'd love to see that.
Saw the neighbors walking by.
Dildos.com.
Where they should get like what the sex bot or whatever, and like that would be hilarious. Oh,
fun times. Well, since we're doing a lot tonight, do you guys want to just dive right in, or do you have anything else, Ian, that's going
on? Dive.
Nope. Okay, cool. Let's go.
Head first.
Chapter 53, The Feast of Lights.
So we were totally wrong on this one, Ian, but I'm glad we were.
It's a celebration, sure. But they're not really celebrating because like parents on a mission. Wait,
hold on. So considering time of year, is this their spring version of Beltane sort of
spring
thing
clean.
Is it similar?
I think something like that. Let me see if there's anything online about what the Feast of Lights. The Feast of Lights is celebrated at the last day of Danu. It's the shortest day of the year, so I guess it's winter time.
Okay,
so it'd be more like Christmas.
Yeah.
I like that Christmas celebration.
Lamps and candles are lit everywhere in people's windows, and they illuminate even anchor chips are shining from sun up after the first day.
Okay.
Inkari is the only time when barriers between commoners and nobles are broken. So people
can we just say that makes it more impressive, the 30 plus miles that Perrin ends up traveling per day, because they have short days. I was trying to think about that, like on foot. I've done 25 miles in a day, like 18 on the trail. A lot of ups and downs, not a nice easy path, and that's a lot.
How far is it from the priest back to the parking lot? Because we hike that. That's not 25 miles. It's like
under 10, I think. Somewhere between 7 and 10.
But it's up and down.
Nonstop up and down.
Up and down. Like,
and rock and staircases that you have to go very slow on. Yep.
Yeah. It's a longer hike just because of the terrain. But yeah.
So even if they're totally flat, carrying their gear, carrying their weapons, all that jazz, the people on foot doing over 30 miles on a short winter day, power to you.
Yeah. And Kevin, thank you as a new patron. Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin, it's the Kevin and Holly T episode. Hey.
Hey. Yeah. Awesome. So see people want to listen to watch you guys' reactions to this. No, I've been waiting for almost 3 years for this. So
it's really goodness.
Yes, I have.
The build up.
Chris, does that mean somebody has a serious level up, or does somebody die, or both?
Somebody is dying, and it better not be Perrin, because if it's Perrin, I'm done. I'm out of here. Gone.
Yep. So while we're at it, this theory I have doesn't apply to a specific spot in these chapters, so I'll just say it now. It hit me. I'm terrified that Fael is going to die.
So she's not even, she didn't come along.
Right. But remember how we were talking, how well the Aes Sedai planned everything? And they even started to coordinate with people that were going to take over leadership in Karien. And there's the Shido and everything. So she's left behind.
Perrin will see red. and it would be
but think of the setup. Both of them are leaving on, we'll call it, bad terms. There's a lot of unspoken, like, yeah, this would be such a tragic, heart-wrenching, not just because we love them, but the way the relationship is right now. If one of them were to die, it would be probably the worst death that could happen right now. Mm-hmm. Either one of those two. So I'm kind of fearful for that.
Let's get into this chapter. So parents make his way through the street.
You see how quickly he just did away with us? Yeah, something, you know, serious is about to
happen. We're gonna get there. We're gonna get to tonight, guys.
All right.
So parents make his way through the streets. There's lots of people out, you know, doing dancing. Parents kind of shocked by just people randomly kissing each other everywhere. Men, women, everyone, general drunkenness everywhere. Just
and a bunch of toplessness. Did I read that right?
This is like Mardi Gras.
That's what I was gonna say. This, as I read through it, I was like, this is just, you know, their equivalent of Mardi Gras. So there we go. We now know what it is.
Yep.
So I've never been to Mardi Gras. I'd love to experience that at some point in time.
Go to Mobile, not New Orleans. Mobile.
I've been to Pork Pompino Festival.
Please don't put that thought into people's minds. Y'all don't ever need to go to that. It was bad enough when we were young. It is really bad now.
It's really bad now. Yeah. Well, now it's not as big as it used to be because it used to be the police didn't know about it.
Oh, yeah. But now
they're too big. And now they have Coast Guard out there, police out there. They're arresting everyone left and right. So for those who don't know, Pork Pie Peanut Festival, it's actually the actual real festival, if you look it up online, is a dry festival done by, actually, I think it's a Baptist church in Surrey, Virginia, in the middle of nowhere. And it's on Chip Oaks Plantation, which is on the James River there. Well, the story goes back in the 70s. A few boaters decide to go by boat to this festival because they heard a festival was going on. And they get there and realize it's a dry festival and there's no alcohol, but they brought a bunch of beer with them. Said, well, this is lame. And they went back and partied on their boat and had a great time. This is how the legend is and how it started. And they told all their friends about it. And next year, more boats showed up and they partied. More boats showed up, they partied. So there's the real, there's the festival on land that is like a craft festival. It's pork, like pig, like eating, pine, doing pine crafts, and peanuts eating as well. So, but on the water, it is just now, at least when I went, when I was in my 20s, over 1,000 boats wrapped it up and just utter chaos and drunkenness everywhere.
Yeah. And no matter what class of citizen you are before you get there, doesn't matter if you're on the nicest boat or whatever, it's like everybody turns into the trashiest, low class person on the, just, it's,
yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah. I remember the first time I was like, I don't know exactly where it is, guys. I know it's up the river somewhere. We start driving around and I see a bunch of boats off the distance. Like, I think this is it, guys. We start getting closer and we see a guy with a pole and there's a blow up doll flying as a flag. Like, I think we're here, guys.
No, my favorite was rolling up to the janky pontoon, and then around both sides come those like two clear inflatable balls with people inside running around like hamsters.
Yeah,
the and balls. It's big boobied naked women like just ramming into each other and then running around to other boats and stuff. And
it was. And you walk through the water, people throwing jello shots to you. It's like raining jello shots. It was a fun time, but I think the police have really cracked. Because someone died a few years ago. Someone drowned.
It happens. Well,
it's water. It's water and you're getting very drunk. So,
this is what good old Perrin is looking at. All of this craziness happening around him.
All this craziness. And he's on a mission because he's worried about Rand and men are gone. Men's gone as well. And they've been gone for 6 days with no ward. And a lot of his emissaries have left the city for 3 days. So he's making a mission, going to Sun Palace to, you know, find everybody and be like, hey, listen, we got to do something. And, you know, he goes in, finds Fael and Loyal Plainstones together. And she's ignoring Perrin. And Sulan comes in and basically is like, yeah, we think he's ticking too. Like, I'm no longer Guy Shine. Give me 1 second. like I have now made him spear. Let's go.
Well, wait. So what the big revelation was when what's her name came in? Bashir? Not Bashir. The other chick that Perrin was trying to avoid.
Marilyn.
So right. She comes in and Perrin's about to snap at her. Wait, we gotta back up even more than that. We're trying to rush through this and there is good stuff here.
Yeah, I was about to say, you went way far ahead.
Yeah. Step one. you know, in honor of our last guest, last episode, Alan, I do have to correct you. You talk about Perrin coming in and Faile was ignoring him. He's also somewhat ignoring her. It's going both ways.
Yes.
And we get more into that as this chapter goes on. He keeps saying over and over again, you know, after he smells her, all the different ways to smell her. And then he smells her. And like, anyways, he's like, if she just says one thing, she just has to say once, like, let's go back to the way it was. And he'll just be all about that. But he never says anything either.
Mm-hmm.
So no yeah. one starts the conversation. It's not just parent or her, it's not just by it's parent too.
Yeah. Pretty toxic for both sides. I mean,
either way, nice if they there. Just talk to each other, life would be so much easier.
And Loial is awkward as all get out in there because while he Loial's can't like, smell, he can sense emotions. He's like, "This is really like, awkward.
This is really weird. Why don't you just say hi? Just give each other a kiss.
I don't know what's going yeah. on."
Loial been up to anyway.
Is this the first time we meet Dobrain too in the situation? I just love his name, Dobrain. The Carian and
I feel like he's been around, but he hasn't really done much talking.
This is the first real interaction. Yeah.
He comes in, wants to speak to Perrin alone about everything, and you know, Perrin says anything to say
nothing for my wife.
Wife and Loial can hear anything too. No secrets, and
yeah,
he's and they inform that there's been two more murders. Two noble people.
You gotta think about the shitty relationship he must have with his wife. A man who has a wife he can trust, Lord Abara, excuse me, is favored of grace beyond wealth. Like, don't you feel that way about your wife?
If it not, is the game. Maybe... The game of. It's the game. Dais D'Amar and Kyria, and they wife. Don't trust their. They play it too. So like they're always scheming even against their husbands and everything. And that's their culture.
That's horrible.
I don't want nothing to do with that. Not at this point in my life. None of it.
Especially at his age. You just give her up and find somebody well worth it, you know?
Yeah. That's part of that noble culture in Kyrian, definitely. But Kolivir, they all think Kolivir did it, that she's scheming to basically take the Sun Throne for herself. Even though Elaine's claim to it and has a lot better claim, they get to that later.
Well, you get a lord dead, found in his bed, poisoned, and then another high lord who's fallen victim to a blade in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Very unusual during the Feast of Lights. I mean, this is a celebration where everybody's accidentally procreating with their cousins. Like,
right. So you know about the PPP festival.
Sweet home Alabama.
Oh, come on. Let's make a West Virginia joke here. Alabama ain't that bad.
Roll Tide.
You know, they're just sticking their yoo-hoos and everybody's woo-hoos and calling it a day. This is where sisters and brothers don't actually matter.
Yep. Yeah. So, and within this conversation, you know, this guy obviously knows what the angle was with these people's murders, and he takes a while to get to it, but it's essentially that these two were kind of, they had the best claims to the throne.
Right.
And then he's hearing whispers about somebody else who's kind of taking advantage of smaller, but many houses to kind of support their claim. So it's a power grab.
But Perrin cuts him off and is like, why are you bringing it to me? Like, take it to Rurik. And he's like, an Isle Savage? He doesn't even rule his place. Like, I'd go to Barley, but she doesn't even come out of her room. So you're the Lord Dragon's friend. So you're in charge
you're up
now.
Next.
Like, he's like, I'm not you're in charge of this next. City. Like, don't take this stuff to me.
Perrin is like, why? How does this man always manage to get me in so much trouble?
He's like hoping Faile would chime in and be like, could really use her help right now.
Yeah,
this is not my forte.
It's not what I'm good at.
She's giggling. She's like, now you'll understand my worth.
Yeah. And doesn't like the idea of going to Rurik. Said she'd rather go to Barrowlane. And right as they mention Barrowlane, this is when Barrowlane comes in, and Perrin immediately snaps, like, "Get out! Get out!
I'm so tired of you, yo dumb shit.
Get out of here.
Get out, or I'll throw you out." Like. And you bounce twice, not bounce once, bounce twice. That's a hard throw.
Yeah. At that point,
every time something changes in this situation, he just keeps sniffing Faile, which is kind of weird. But given that that's a power of his, I guess I understand he would try to use it. But Yeah. He's like,
you're right.
This is a good point too. Min did see these deaths coming. She mentioned that, I think it was last
chapter.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
We thought it was going to be during a war, but it was during a loving feast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So he sniffs Fael here, and he's thinking like Fael would be happy that he's yelling at her, but Fael's like mixed emotions, but then like kind of a freak out. He's like, what is she freaking out about? And looks down, and what Berlane had was Rand's shit that he would not leave without.
Right. His sword and his buckle.
You got to also think about it too. The culture that Fael comes from, like when a man puts a woman in her place and does so with authority, it's because he feels like he has the right to, and because he's been given that right by the woman. Mm-hmm. So Fael feels like here's Perrin kind of falling into a trap that Perrin doesn't even realize he's falling into. And that's making Fael that much more jealous.
Don't worry, brother. We come.
Yeah, he's growling at something. Sorry, guys.
We come.
I think he knows it too.
You mentioned Shadow Killer, and he got really upset. He was like, what, Shadow Killer? It's taken?
He's staring at the back door like, what the? It's okay, buddy.
We're here for you. Across the mic, through the electricity, into the screen, into your ears.
Yeah, so immediately Sulin sees that the bundle, you know, what the items are, and she immediately figures Rand's been kidnapped and starts wailing, upset about, you know, the fact that she's gone.
They have taken him!
They've taken him!
The way this played out in my head is that her scene seemed to go really fast, because I think she did the mental math real quick and just almost immediately was like freaking out, but then looking down at what she was wearing and was like, oh no, fuck this shit. No, get me my stuff. I need a haircut. Give me my things.
Well, Berlane snaps back. I'm not doing this in a like, dress. Why are you crying? You're just a servant girl and doesn't even know she's Aiel. She's like,
oh. Not even that. She says, be calm, good woman. Go into the next room and be calm. Depending on the brain, she says, we cannot allow her to spread. And she's like, bitch, you don't know who I am?
Do you know who I am?
She's like, screw this crap. Get my cotton sword, cut my hair, let's go.
That's how I saw the scene. She got real hood real quick. She was like, I can't wait to take care of you again. You forget, I'm the one that spanked your booty all in.
I got my hair cut. Connoisseur. Baby, how you feeling? Feeling good as hell.
Ooh, child. Kiss Luanne. Hurry up. I have things for us to do. She's like, go on, go get my stuff. Go get the scissors. Let's cut this hair. We gotta hurry. Yep. Father is my and Cheyenne Matar, however you pronounce it. She's just like went off. All of a sudden, it was like she flipped the switch back in full control. I like this is the height of this chapter for me.
Yeah, this scene for sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we keep asking, when is her toe met? When is her toe met? And all of a sudden it's like, you know what?
It's done. And Perrin's not convinced that Rand's been kidnapped. I mean, he says, like, he's thinking in his head, like, it's only three Aes Sedai. Like, I know you could take three. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, how is he
trying to do the cool headed thing? He's doing the pairing where he's like, I don't like jumping to conclusions. Let's try and think about this a little bit more, sort of thing. And I respect that. You got to be careful not being too hot-headed. So I don't want to knock him here as we say this. It's Perrin being Perrin, but it generally works for him.
And Berlane keeps moving closer to Perrin during all this, and he barks at her, stay back. And she complies, and she's just trying to tell him, like, I was strongly advised by the Aes Sedai, like, with the impression that, you know, that if he didn't leave willingly, that he'd be forced, like, kind of thing. And, like, yeah, he strongly implied that. And,
10 times they came to me. 10 times. Homeboy was like, they only came to me once. I was like, kind of shows where you stand on the hierarchy.
The old one and done.
Yeah. And so Dobrain said he was also, he was urged to leave. And they go back and talk about Kolivir here, and they said, like, Elaine has a better claim anyway. It doesn't really matter right now. And
just the emphasis on her being Demon Dread instead of or that she should have been, or I forget it. Where? What was it? I can't remember.
Demandred. Yeah. Because that was her dad's last name, but took her mother's last name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I guess is important because it kind of shows her ties with some other characters.
Yeah. Moraine Demandred.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That Colvary wants the Sun Throne. Yeah, got all through that. So after all this stuff, Perrin is eventually convinced that, that Rand is gone and needs to get it back.
So he howls at the moon.
Oh! Well, he sits there and says, like, even if I go with myself, and Loyal immediately turns to me, I was like, oh, you're never going alone. I'm right here with you, buddy. I got you.
Also in this scene, I'd like to see it cutting to, like, Perrin talking. You can see Loyal in the background still playing Sones. And then it cuts where you don't see Loyal and Perrin being like, I'm going by myself. And then when you cut back to Loyal, he's already in full battle rattle, axe in hand. He's like, no, bro. the two of us will go. And Sulin's like, oh, shit, let me get a couple of my friends. We going.
Yeah, we going. And immediately, after Loyal says that, Dobrain says, he'll get 500 his men from Kyrian the next day to go.
That's helpful.
Yeah. 500 soldiers.
That is a huge force. They're going to do so well.
Yeah. And they're able to gather up a 300
moment. You there. What is your profession? I'm a potter. And you? What's your profession? I'm a carpenter. Yeah. Sparta, what is your profession? See, I brought more soldiers than you have. That's my eel right there. Well played.
They start gathering their forces together. Sulin comes back, haircut, ends cut and sore. Rurik says he'll go get the maidens and the Siswayam, the dragon sworn. But no other Aiel will fight Aes Sedai. Is what he says. So he can't get all his Aiel. He can only get the ones that have sworn to, sworn to Ragan or to the dragon, to Rand and the maidens. So it's not even the full force of
the Kar Khan. They're not sworn to the dragon.
The Kar Khan.
Yeah.
And Perrin says, well, we can stand up to a few Aes Sedai. We got some channelers, we got some wise ones. And Soryla says, don't worry, Aes Sedai aren't the only one that can channel. We're here too. Soryla's.
Yeah. Now, I'm very excited about this because, Chris, we have debated about the wise ones and how much are they holding back. We know they can walk the dreams like crazy. They're very good at that. But we also know they can channel some and do some other things. But to what extent, we don't really know. And Avienda is being trained to be a wise one or was being trained to be a wise one. And we know through Elaine kind of checking out her versus some of the other Aes Sedai that Avienda is more powerful than a lot of Aes Sedai. So how many other wise ones are that powerful or more powerful? I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised by some of these wise ones going, oh, you three Aes Sedai want to shoot fireballs at me? We'll try and do that without a face.
Yep. And that's how we end this part with Soryla showing a little fireball and them saying, yeah, we're all going to go. And we switch to Galena's point of view. Good old Galena. Yay. I'm sure your favorite character.
Yay.
So, yeah, Galena's trying to get men to cooperate, and she's refusing to talk. She's been beaten. Rand's been beaten constantly. Every time he tries to break out, they beat him more. They're just basically trying to beat him down to submission, like just torture. Nonstop.
Do they end up doing stuff to men in front of him, or at least where he can hear,
Before they did, and they said they're going to do it again, I think. Because that's when Rand snapped. They were going to do it again, trying to get. He's like, well, if he's not going to take the beatings himself, we'll just keep on beating men in front of him. Hopefully, that'll get him to snap.
Yep. At the Seer School. When the pilots are going through there, the Seer School is to train you, like what happens if you get stuck behind enemy lines. And so we put all of our pilots through there and a lot of special forces. It's survive, evade, resist, escape. And in the resistance training, that's probably the most difficult part for everybody, because most of your pilots in the military are very strong type A personalities. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, one of the lessons learned at the end, without getting through all of it, is that everybody breaks. I don't care who you are, you are going to break. I don't care how much you say, I'll never say what John McCain said, I'll never do that, you can't make me record. Everyone breaks. And now that we have more females that are pilots and female getting into combat roles and everything, we have females going to this school. And you might not like it, but in this school, if there's a female going through there and they notice a close friendship relationship with one of the other guys, when that guy's getting interrogated, they don't do anything to him. They'll bring in the female and start roughing her up. And the dude breaks like that every time.
Yeah.
And it sounds crazy, but when you think about it, if that situation happened in real life, you don't think bad people in this world wouldn't do that? That's what they do.
The first one I'm going for.
Speaking of breaking, I think we're breaking a record tonight, because not only Karen, but also Pythos has now upped their pledges as well. A lot of people.
We need to hurry through this chapter. Stop bullshitting here. Stop bullshitting. Like, everybody's upping their Patreon level. That means something serious is about to go down.
You can tell we're all excited for the last chapter, because even Alan is having a very hard time keeping us on topic and following this story in order. We are all over the place so far.
I'm trying.
What are you talking about?
Yep.
Yeah, so torturing men, apparently Rand was let out for a bit, you know, and he ended up killing a warder with his bare hands and knifing another guy who ended up dying later. with unarmed.
All over men. Look what he did over a woman he doesn't really love.
Yeah.
So unarmed, and he was still blocked from channeling at that point.
Right.
Just land lessons.
That's his lessons with land.
And we've talked about this before. Remember Ran, even with the Ashaman training, like, no, you still got a sword train. Like, what's going to happen if you can't channel? You still got to fight.
I heard he like grabbed the guy's face, like poked his eyeballs out and like,
ooh, yeah.
The guy like pulled his guts completely out.
Yeah.
It was a heck of a fight.
Yeah. Mm. So after this,
murders ain't no joke. That's not easy.
Oof. Yeah. After this, she goes to looking for
Gauntlet. He is on equal foot. He is a warder, and he's a man who can channel.
Yeah.
Ooh. So does
he was trained by one of the best warders,
mm-hmm. and they don't know he's bonded.
No,
they do. I think they do, because they keep on mentioning too bad your green sister wasn't here with you. Oh, because they think
Remember when Egwene?
It's Moraine, because she's alive.
Right. Yeah, yeah, you are right. You're right.
I have no idea.
They don't know. Yeah,
but he gets extra
healing property.
He gets
to sleep as long.
Extra strength.
Good point. It's not just land. He had Rourke training too when he was in the waste. So he has double training. He has land training and he has Rourke training. Like, wow. He's good.
He's a warder and he's a channel.
He's like that new Pokemon where they not only can they level up, but then they also get like this extra power boost.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
but they've now kept him tied up in air because they don't trust him at all.
He forgot the safe word. It's simple. It's pineapple.
Pineapple.
All he had to do was say pineapple.
Yeah, exactly. So she sets off to go find Gawain, who has withdrawn a bit since Grant's capture. And Galena sees seven Aes Sedai around the chest holding where Rand's being held. Six are seated intently, and Arion is there as well, standing. And immediately she comes and says, he's trying to get out again, you know, and she's furious with Galena and says, we need to beat him again for it. And Galena actually hesitates a little bit, but she gives in and says, yep, go ahead, beat him again. Whoop his ass. And that's how we end this before we switch to Rand's point of view.
We switch.
Yeah.
So none of this is really surprising, except you would think, again, I always say this about the Aes Sedai, you think they'd be a little bit smarter. They're a little too overconfident, and yes, they have the numbers, so maybe they can get away with that confidence. But shouldn't they also know that? And he's the most powerful male channeler in not just any of their lives, but in recent written history. Like, shouldn't they be careful either to not provoke them too much, or I know the standard is 6 and 6 should be fine to shield them, but maybe use more. Like, I don't know. I feel like they're a little too overconfident here. Maybe this is just me being hopeful that Randall bust out and do something, but
yeah. We switched to Rand's point of view. Arian comes up to him, pulls him out of the chest, immediately starts beating him with lashes of air. And Rand refuses to cry out of pain. Just clenches his jaw. Luce Theron's moaning in his head about Illyana. And, Rand's just refusing to give in. Like, in fact, forced himself to smile through all the pain of just being beaten senseless, almost near death. Like, just beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was rough to read.
Sing it in his falsetto.
Yeah. So there's so much pain that he temporarily loses vision. And when the beating stops, his vision slowly returns. He thinks he's hallucinating because he sees Aiel Wise once. And he's like,
a rescue.
And then it takes him a minute to recognize it's Savannah.
And all the while, Savannah. Our friend Luz is back.
Yeah. And Savannah comes up and strokes, draws a line around his neck, which he thinks is a moment to try to say, like, I'll take your head off, like he took Culloden or Matt took Culloden's.
As we know, it's not. So just kind of pausing right there real quick. He is using this form of torture to embed in himself to never trust Aiel again, or Aes Sedai again.
Oh, yeah.
That's not going to turn out well for him in the near future when he needs them, though. Like, I'm worried about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That PTSD is going to be real.
Yeah, he's so you think there's going to be ongoing implications from that?
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, there is a reason why this was included, and it's not a good one.
We saw how much Egwene changed from her capture, and this is a little bit more intense, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. And after this whole thing, she goes back to the Aes Sedai and says she'll meet her part of the bargain. And Rand's like, what bargain? What bargain? But he's pushed back in the box before he can hear the end of it. And as he's in the box, he starts going through again, trying to feel the shield with Luz. And Luz starts to tell him about how to break out. He's like, he feels the soft points, like 6 Aes Sedai, soft points. And he's like, and Luz is like, yeah, if they go hard, I can break out of them. Because that means they tied off their weaves. But as long as they're still holding it actively, there's no way I can break these things. But if they tie them off, there's a chance.
We're out of here.
I can figure out how to get out. And he's just, very softly trying to feel his way at the shield when and begins to laugh and cannot stop laughing. Because what else do you do? Going kind of crazy. Because, yeah, I don't think this is a laugh like a joyous laugh. This is a laugh of like just craziness. Like, you're basically breaking. He's starting to break.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so I throughout that guess before, like, did Luz run off and disappear because Rand was shielded? And that's not the case, because he's still shielded and he's able to communicate with Luz. So, but then it begs the question, where did Luz run off to?
Somewhere in the recesses of his mind.
Yeah. Like, where's he get? It's just odd.
Yeah.
And not dependent on the power, because he's been cut off from that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how we end this Rand section before we switch back to Galena, who's watching the Aiel leave. In a few days' time, Savannah will fulfill her part of the bargain, which is killing Gawain and the younglings. So they've hired the Shido to kill the younglings. And Galena returns to camp. And Aaron's standing over.
Did we get a good explanation as to why they want that to happen?
Because we can't have him like turning another leaf and forgiving Rand.
Yeah, I guess that loose ends.
Yeah.
And she can't. I think they're just killing
Gawain, right? They're not going to kill the whole crew.
Unless it's against the Shadow. So she can't kill Gawain, but the Shadow.
So they just don't like any man that gets too much power and authority.
The Reds? Oh, no. They don't.
That's ridiculous.
So,
Raz is not happy about that.
No. So he returns to Arian. He's standing over Rand's chest. Arian says Rand is weeping, though he's actually laughing.
He's weeping, or he could be laughing, but I can't imagine somebody laughing after all that.
But he was laughing, so.
Oh yeah, he was.
And she begins to cry herself. And Galena tries to soothe her. I guess she, I don't know if she feels bad about what she's doing. I don't. Maybe just emotional. I don't know. But
I feel like she's got to feel a little bit bad about it. She kind of is probably torn because she knows the importance of Rand.
Right.
But at the same time, he did kill her warders. So
right.
That's a hard place to be.
And Galena's determined to have Rand, you know, crawling to the Armorland when they get back to the tower. She says, nope, I know you're upset about this, but he's going to keep on being beaten at dawn and sunset every day, the whole way back. We're going to take him out and we're going to beat him twice a day, every day.
Beat it. Open up the trunk and beat him. Mm.
And then we get Savannah's motivation. So we get back to Savannah and she's back with the wise ones. And she says, yep, the Aes Sedai are holding Rand. I can confirm that. And yeah, I'm intending to marry him. I'm going to force him to marry me so that I can rule the Karkarn myself.
Oh, yeah.
And she throws away the small stone cube. That
Don't forget the important piece about her talking about putting something around his neck to control him.
Yeah, a collar around his neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if she does have a collar that she could put around his neck and control him with.
Yeah. And she had the stone box that was told to use right now, you know, at this point by some other wetlander, and she throws it away.
That was smart. That was probably a tool of, you know, the what was the
one of the Forsaken?
Yeah, Forsaken that was there. That was a Forsaken's tool. Probably to kill them all.
Right. Yeah, and then she turns to Desaine. Who I guess is being punished and says it's time and then starts to tear apart. Or the wise ones start to tear apart. Like
literally
pieces. And that's how we end this chapter. So kind of a somber note, to end.
The Shido seem very different than all the other Aiel we've met.
Yeah, so they've broken all of the Aiel customs as well. If you remember, like that was part of the whole thing. So they refused to follow the Karkarn, and then they're like, well, we're our own thing now. So because we've been, I guess, we're not going to follow the Aiel way anymore, but they're still Aiel. So they're still badass fighters, but they're not really following the true
Geato
and stuff like that.
They're
horrible.
In my mind, the Shido are the army that Rand needs, willing to do any and everything to take control of things. So I think we're gonna see some swappage here. I think maybe the Shido will finally turn a new leaf, get on the right side of things.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys ready to move to the Sending?
Let's do it.
All right, chapter 54, the Sending. So Per and Gaul, Loial, they all leave the palace. They're making their way out the streets of Kyrian. Loial's attracting a bunch of stares because he's this giant guy on this giant horse with an axe. As they're making way to the docks, they get to the ferryman or the boatman or whatever. And they're like, hey, we need to cross right now. He's like, oh, let me get oarsman. He's like, we need to throw some more money. He's like, now, right now, get up.
We save more money, but let's be specific. Starts with the gold crown, then tosses another one in his hand, then tosses some more. I mean, a lot of money for this job. Like, this guy is going to be set by getting them across the river for a while.
Right.
So,
yeah. And Perrin thinks about Fael as he crosses, that he hadn't had time to say goodbye. But, you know, he's also confused in a jumble of emotions right now and just trying to march forward because they have to catch up.
And puts it all on her again. Like, if only she would have said something. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. It's her and what? Yeah. Once across the river, Perrin, can see that some of the granaries that were burned during earlier rioting and things like that. And he's greeted by Dobrain and those men. And also 200 of Barrelane's manners were sent as the wing guard. Have joined as well. So they have 700 soldiers, Perrin, Loial, and then the Aiel are across, and he doesn't even know how they cross the river, but they're over there. And like, I'm not even going to ask. It's not
how did they cross the river?
They don't say.
Are there any good theories out there you could share with us? Does anybody
ever cut down trees?
Yeah, maybe. Floated across some trees. Who knows?
Cut down trees and ran across.
Yeah. But tells Perrin they have 5,000 spears plus 1,000 maidens. So about 6,000 Aiel spears.
I'll take it.
And then also the channelers have come as well. I'm trying to remember. I sent you how much channels
there were. Like 50 something or 500 or?
No, it's not that. It's not that much. They don't have as much as the Shadow do.
No. How did the Shadow have such a large force?
Because all the people that were leaving ran during that march back all went to the Shadow.
Joined them.
Yeah, they have, they have about 39 wise ones, actually, to be exact.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's a good force.
Yeah. And they travel hard all day long, like you said, making those 25-mile, 30-mile marches, which is
that's big. Breakneck.
That's a big speed. And of course, the Aiel has no problem keeping up with the horses and everything because they're Aiel. They can run forever.
The older wise ones don't even seem like they're struggling. They're just running along.
And then Perrin decides to get some other allies that night. So he uses his mind and reaches out, sees any wolves there, and starts to find some wolves.
Well, what if they all dreamwalked across? Oh, maybe they were pulled out across by dreamwalkers.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
That's what we're going with. Since nobody knows how they got across. I'm sorry, I know I'm going way back.
No. My mind is in the background. I was still trying to process that too. So I'll take that.
That's good. That's our answer. We're sticking with it.
So yeah. So Perrin reaches out, finds a couple of wolves, and reaches out of mine, draws a picture of himself.
I'm Young Bull.
I'm Young Bull. I'm like, oh hey, it's Young Bull. What's up? He's like, what do you need? He's like, yeah, we need to find some Aes Sedai. Like, oh yeah, we saw them. And they
stay far away from them.
And it's interesting how they use the position of the moon in the sky to kind of figure out. To kind of relay back and forth, give images of what time of day it is and how far it is, and basically celestial navigation to figure out where they are. He has a pretty good idea. The wolves are like, well, why do you want to know? Like, what do you need help with? And Perrin says, if Cage the Shadow Killer, and then immediately all around the camp, you hear the wolves all start howling like crazy. and we come.
That's what she said.
Yeah. So
Half-Tail replied at last, only that, and then others answered. Pax Perrin, who had spoken to, and Pax that he had listened silently to the two legs, who could speak as wolves did. We come.
Brad says, I'm coming too. I shall
help. Rolling over, Perrin went to sleep, and he dreamed he was running with the wolves.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I was really disappointed, though? This would have been the perfect time to bring Elias back.
Yeah, that'd be great. So they talk about
bring Gnome back.
They talk about him a little bit.
Perrin thinks about him, but Elias for sure. I keep wanting more of that.
Yeah.
What if Elias is related to Fael or something like that, comes from that family?
Like a brother?
Maybe. Maybe that has to do with the broken crown or something.
But what if in the next chapter the wolves come and they have extra help? Elias and Gnome.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like this call, because we're not starting this, is bringing everybody. Like, as word gets around that Rand's in trouble, all the wolves are coming. Mm-hmm. They seem pretty.
Look at those teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rand is like, I'll bite them.
I got it.
This is the best moment in this entire book so far. Not only do we have Perrin, but we have Perrin and the wolves.
Yeah.
And then we have Loyal with an axe.
Loyal's getting ready to battle too. Yeah.
He's ready.
That's crazy. He was two books ago, so much of a anti-fighting. And
he fought the Battle of Two Rivers, though.
Yeah, he fought it, but begrudgingly. He's such a pacifist. And now he's like, hold on a second. I know I brought the thing with you somewhere. He pulled out his toothpick. He's like, yeah, well, I'll use this.
Yeah. So the group continues to travel. Every night, Perrin talks to the wolves more to keep on relaying where they are. And Perrin talks with Loyal. Loyal tells Perrin.
That's part of the development that I really missed, though, where I didn't think there was enough of. Was him finally coming fully to terms with the fact that he is a wolf brother.
Yeah.
He didn't really develop it. It's just, he didn't want to be it.
He didn't want to be it. He didn't want to be it. All right, I'm it.
Right.
So, yeah.
I need him to go on like a journey walk or something.
Some rites of passage with the wolves that really. That would have been a good way to bring Elias back, is to like, yeah, how do you officially make that transition? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And this on this fourth night is when Loyal starts talking to Perrin about Aes Sedai and about the gentling process and how, you know, the law says they can't gentle him until he gets to the tower and is tried. You know, and gives Perrin, because that's one thing Perrin's thinking, like, what if they gentle him already? Like, what are we going to do then? Like, we're doomed. And as all this is going on, tensions are starting to rise with the various groups as well. The Kyrians and Aiel don't trust each other at all. You know, obviously the tree killers and the savages, Aiel, that they fought a whole war within like a generation. So like,
it's still fresh,
So lots of tension. There's also tension between the maidens and the Siswai, the male, the Siswayam. So there's just tensions everywhere within it.
Back to the Loyal thing. Like, he also gives more evidence to Perrin that it wasn't just three Aes Sedai, or it doesn't make sense that it was. And he talks about the different false dragons and how strong they were, and Rand is supposedly stronger. And, you know, they tried to control with less than six before, and it did not end well.
Yeah.
So,
right.
It just doesn't make sense that they scooped up Rand with three. So right. Perrin's got to be putting it together.
Yeah, that there's more than three. And even tensions are rising amongst the maidens. I mean, so Sulin and Nandira get in a fight, actually a physical fight, about who's supposed to be leading the maidens. And even though Sulin wins the fight, Nandira still remains the leader. Amiz and
I love that fight, by the way. Yeah. I was in there driving to work, and I'm like, huh.
They scrapping. Girl
fight. They're scrapping hard, though.
I would not fight Sulin. No.
She lays her out, stomps her face till she blacks out. This is what's going on in my mind. I don't know. Yeah. It's a lot less vivid in the book, but it's like flat out, like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. She finally gets the best of her, and then she stomps her face and she spits on her, and she looks at her and she throws her a napkin and says, "Clean yourself up." And she's like, "Wait, she's passed out." So she like throws her over her shoulder like a bag of potatoes.
Oh, I went too far.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find somebody to heal her.
Yeah. And even Amis and Sorilla are struggling about who's going to lead the wise ones. And they eventually settle on Sorilla being the one to lead the wise ones.
Wait a minute.
I'm reading comments. So why you go ahead, make that comment, and then I'm going to say something.
This just clicked. I'm like, oh man, like, how's Egwene gonna fit into all of this? But so Egwene's already heading to Tar Valon anyways, right?
But she's still in Saladar. She sent Gareth towards.
She didn't travel with him?
I don't think so.
Either way, more importantly, these wise ones can communicate with Egwene as often as they want.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's not impossible for a message to get relayed.
Right.
Hmm. I don't know why that just clicked, but it didn't earlier.
Yeah. So were you going to say, Chris, you're reading comments about Elias?
Somebody somebody said
Elias who? Perrin who?
So Perrin's gone back and forth since that book one about accepting being a wolf brother. But Azul, he hadn't accepted being a wolf brother. So him just accepting it.
There wasn't anything formal.
Formal acceptance for me. Yeah. I needed a moment. I needed like this ultimate moment of clarity where he's like, I mean, Hopper dying, maybe that was it, but I needed like a clear moment of like, I am who I am. I mean, okay, him accepting the axe, but that's not accepting being a wolf brother. That's accepting being pulled into the battle and having to fight. So
I agree. A more formal rites of passage. And what would be cool, like the reason I want that is it wouldn't be anything like a human experience. It would be an experience with the wolves, and already how we've learned how they communicate and relay information and feeling and stuff. I just think coming up with a cool rites of passage for them would be awesome. I'm not even creative enough to write something like that, but that would be,
I think that's a harder point though. Now that I'm thinking about it, like they already accepted him. He's the only one with a problem with it and it's in his own head. So
yeah,
you know, dogs are cool. I mean, look at that dog right there. The dog loves you for no reason.
Yeah, it's because I feel
it's not your dog.
It's not my dog.
No, not at all.
He gets so excited when I walk in the door. This dog loses his shit. He will tap dance all over these hardwood floors for like 5 minutes.
No reason. See, that's why I miss dogs. Forget the cats. I need a dog.
On the seventh day out of the city, Perrin receives a sending from Raz.
You can see my cats in the background running around. I'm sorry.
From Half Tail, that a party of humans a few miles ahead are traveling the same direction. And Perrin recognizes the banner the wolf sends as Two Rivers. So he goes to the wise ones and says, like, yeah, we got some friends that are approaching. And he's like, how do you know this? And he's like, that's a hunch. Like, don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about a thing. I just guess. I feel like there's someone coming. And then they see the party and he's like, yeah, I see the banner. He's like, oh, your eyesight's pretty good too. Oh, that's strange. He says, let me go in front because they know me. You know, and realizes a group about, was it the 300 Two Rivers bowmen?
Yeah.
And nine Aes Sedai, including Alana and Varen and the whole party that was going after Rand. And they've been tracking Rand because of Alana, because she can sense where Rand is.
Yep. We knew this was going to come together somehow.
Yeah.
The way I guessed it, totally wrong. But
right,
we knew Alana's connection would, you know, help her find him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Perrin asks how they got here. And, you know, Alana says that, yeah, used a bottom chair with Rand to track, even though she doesn't actually say that. She hints around and say,
well,
yeah,
she's not casual about it. She's freaking out a little bit. Like, yeah, even though it's interesting with the bonding, like maybe the intent was to control, but she still has an emotional connection to him.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that he's been hurt, beaten, and she's not just like casually cool about this. She's worried about it, you know? Yeah. And I don't think just for political reasons. And maybe I'm reading into it now that I'm saying it out loud, but as I read it, like I read that there was this emotional bond beyond just the physical bond.
Yeah, bond. Yeah, there is.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And they start asking Perrin, like, why are you here? And he says, well, Rand's been kidnapped. And Alana's like, I told you I felt pain, like, through the pot. Like,
yeah.
Like, yep. Something was going on. And they're like, all right, okay. It's like, we cannot let the Tower of Aes Sedai have him like this. Like, if he's been kidnapped, like, we have to do something right now. And he's like, yeah, that's what we're doing. Come on, join us. And the Aes Sedai, like, oh, wait. No, you join us. We're in charge. We're Aes Sedai. Gosh. You're gonna follow us because we're in charge. Parents like,
so frustrating.
You know, we also forgot one very important part.
What's that?
How enamored and fanboying Loial is over his prospective wife.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I just got to make sure we bring some attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're all excited about.
He's starting to be okay with it.
Parent getting this big group of people together, and they're, you know, we can't let the Aes Sedai die, and we got to stop them. But Loial's over there like, she's so beautiful. I love her. Not love her. I like her. I like the fact that she listens to me. Yeah. Like she actually listens.
And she's so pretty. She's easy on the eyes.
And her ears.
So somebody, was it Skeeter, ears. Just commented, Aes Sedai gonna Aes Sedai. But anybody else find it funny that Perrin's like, I don't want to be in charge. I don't want to be in charge. I don't want to be in charge. Wait, I'm in charge. Oh no, I'm not in charge. Like...
Yeah,
he doesn't want it till the Aes Sedai say they're in charge, and now he's like, "Wait a minute!"
And they're flying them a Netherin banner, which Perrin's not really happy about either. Too, he's like, "Why'd you bring that?" But then immediately the other people pull out their banners, and it's not their own country's banner; it's Rand's banner. So they all start flying the dragon banners, which is a pretty cool moment. Like, yeah, we're marching as the dragon's army. We're gonna whoop some ass. At least that's what they're hoping for.
Meanwhile, Perrin's like, "How did I get pulled into this shit? Wow. Let's go get my buddy."
Exactly.
Let's do this.
Yeah. So Perrin leads the Emmons Fielders and the Aes Sedai back to his party. Alana refuses to tell Perrin anything about how she tracked Rand. Perrin can smell that there's some vying for leadership within the Aes Sedai. Although Miranda's the alleged leader of the Sidearm embassy.
But Varen still gets a nod.
Yep. Varen still gets a nod. Yep. Definitely. And Perrin's enjoying being reunited with Danil and all the Emmons feelers. And, you know, it's good. But get to the end of this chapter where on the 10th day after leaving the city, he receives a sending from the wolves that says, "You must hurry, come now. There are many, many two legs approaching."
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All them two legs.
Dun,
dun, dun. And none of them got three, though.
So just to set things up for you, I know that because we're about to read it, and if anybody is listening to this and has not read through to Dumai's Wells and wants to turn off now, go for it. I did send this to them just to set up this battle, our supposed battle, this clash that's coming up.
set the scene, bro.
Set the scene. So what do the forces look like? So if you don't want to listen to this, turn off now. If you want to hear what the forces look like, keep listening. So put things in perspective. Rand's kidnappers. It's actually now 39 Aes Sedai that are there. Not just the 13, but there's even more that have joined alongside. There's 40,000 Shido Spears, 300 Shido Wise One channelers, and 600 of Gawain's band, versus 1,000 wolves, 9 Aes Sedai, 40 Wise One, 6,000 spears versus 40,000 spears, 300 River Tears Bowmen, 500 Kyrianans, and 200 Wing Guard, and in one Ogier with an axe. I got to throw that one in there.
And then the dwarves. The dwarves are coming too.
Yeah,
and a wolf brother,
and a wolf brother. Yeah, and Perrin, but he's with the two rivers. But yeah, wolf. Yeah, definitely.
Parent. And a partridge in a pear tree.
So definitely outnumbered. On
the
going
first
into this
day of battle, the Isle gave to me.
I mean, so if you add up all the wise ones, and so you have 49 channelers on Rand's on Parent's side, and 340 channelers on the other side. So it's 50 channelers versus hundreds more. And then spears, you have 40,000 versus 6,000. And then pretty much the 700 mounted guard versus 600. So a little bit outweighing there, but they don't – let's be real. When you're battling with Aiel and channelers, they're cannon fodder.
Well, okay. But what do we have for reserves? We have the wise ones that could communicate to Egwene. What could Egwene bring with her?
Sure.
She's got armies. She's got additional Aes Sedai and channelers. I don't know who would communicate this, but there's still Taim and the Ashaman. How could they get pulled into this? They could. I don't think we're just going to ignore them the rest of this book. I feel like they're somehow going to be a part of this.
Okay.
But how and who? Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, so the next chapters that we'll be covering the next time we record, but we listen to, are going to be the final two chapters, chapter 55 and the epilogue, which is Dumai's Wells and the epilogue. So favorite characters from these chapters. There's a lot of good stuff that happens in these. It's a good couple of chapters.
I'm going to give a shout out to Sulan. Have to. Her transition. Would have loved for it to come sooner, but this was a great time to just be like, what the fuck am I doing? Give me my spears. Let's get it on.
I disagree with you about other perfect times. I think this was the perfect time. She waited until there was no other hope.
Need is key.
Yeah. Need is key.
Between the toe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. As far as favorite character, though, I don't know. I don't know that I really have one.
What about Loyal chilling there playing stones and then be like, swoop, Loyal battle rattle with an axe?
He was ready to do anything he could to get away from that awkward situation.
That's true. He's like, I'd rather fight a war than sit here with these two.
I really like, what's her name for her tenacity and not get Barrelane. Is that right?
Ooh.
No, what's her name? Yeah, barely.
She annoyed the bejesus out of me, but
yeah, she definitely was going after what she wanted.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah,
she's my hero,
Barrelane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alan's like, well, that's a first.
That's a first. All right. That's actually my youngest brother, Hunter. He's been on our podcast before. He loves Bearline. So,
see?
Yeah, he's all about
an evil temptress.
Yeah, the evil temptress. She's not evil, kind of. I don't know.
Aren't we all a little bit? That's the point of these books.
Yeah.
We're all good. We're all bad.
Yeah. So, also, I got to give it to Rand just for smiling during all of that, taking it and just refusing to give in. Don't give him an inch. Just
as horrible as all this is, part of me still, it's kind of like last episode where I'm like, that's what you get, dummy. I mean, did he?
Hey, he did almost like make it though. Like he
set himself up for this.
Made the decision that he was gonna.
Yep.
Draw on powers and.
Does it bother anybody else that he killed warders? Because the grand scheme of things, like the warders are just kind of following the Aes Sedai and what they're doing. You know, they don't deserve to die.
They're following what they're compelled to do.
Well, some maybe, yeah. It'd have been cooler if Rand came out and killed a couple Aes Sedai. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, but he would have got jumped. Too many people around.
Yeah, true. Well, he's about to, I'm assuming, kill a couple.
Never know.
Never know.
Well, we're about to know in a little bit.
We're about to know.
if you would go ahead and wrap it up, Alan.
All right. So I'll go ahead and finish this up. So how he can be found.
Yeah, Alan has a hard time with that. How many kids does he have?
So how he can be found is at the Will Reads, and also all the social medias, and also thewillreads.com. So go to the website, check it out, find a way to support us. If you want to listen in a few minutes, become a Patreon at the Aes Sedai tier or higher. You'll get there's a post there. It has the links. I'm about to send a message to all those current tiers. I'll say, hey, we probably can start a little early because I scheduled it. They're not knowing how long these aren't scripted. If you guys didn't know this already, we don't script these episodes. Yeah. So I have no idea how long they're going to go. So I just threw it out there knowing that we'd probably be done by then. So we are going to start a little bit early on the live reaction to Do My As Wells, but I'll send a message out to everyone in a second. So you'll get an email in a second.
Let's start at 10. I can go shower and be ready for bed when we're done.
All right. Yeah. So we'll start that at 10. Right. So
that's a good one. Give me a good pee break.
Yeah. And I can get another beer. So yeah, go ahead and
SSS.
And join our Patreon if you want to, or you can also just support us by buying merch. Just listening to us. We like it. Join our Discord. Great community. And that's all I got for this week.
Until 15 minutes from now.
See you in a few.
Okay, bye. I hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you for listening to The Wheel Reads. See y'all next time.